Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Ohayou gozaimasu. Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast. I lost my intro bit here. Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bitty film fans watch 50 best horror movies ever and talk about them. The Japanese kind of threw me off there.
Wasn't expecting it.
My name is Luke Condor, and that's with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington. Sorry, no Japanese here. I'll find something.
How's it going, Ben? You all right?
It's good.
We've both gone for the beanie tonight, for those on the video feed. You get a bit of that action.
It's cold. It's cold in the UK. It's probably the coldest day of the year so far. I don't know. That might be completely wrong.
No, and I think you're right, because they were saying it's cold, as cold in some parts as it is in Alaska. Like in Scottish Highlands or something, like minus 15 or something, I don't know.
Jesus.
I might be making it up now.
But, I've just got cold feet all the time at the moment. That's what I keep getting.
I get cold head. And it's always this round of time I think I need to start some sort of charity for bold men, like bold and cold, because like hand out woolly hats and stuff, because it gets so cold. People with hair just don't understand.
You can get a lovely woolly hat quite cheap these days.
Yeah, but you have to pay for it. A lot of people who are like, I'm bold and I'm skint, but I'm cold. Yeah,
you got a lovely beanie in Primark for £2. Other high street retailers are available. Delicious
beanie.
It tastes nice. I've got this nice. It's burgundy. It looks like it's burgundy.
Cherry flavor.
Yeah.
What's that one? Black Forest hat. Is it
Black Forest Gatto?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So other horror guff.
Black Forest Hatto. That's it.
Classic. See you later. Yeah. Other horror guff. Have you seen or done anything?
Other horror guff. I'm preparing for Christmas horror episode, which is next week.
Yeah. Mentally preparing.
So Krampus.
Yeah.
I won't say anything about that. Got a few more to watch before the week is over. I've started reading Stephen King's Cujo.
Have you?
I've never read before.
No.
And
seen the film.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I'm familiar with what the story of Cujo is. That's quite good. Enjoying that. It's quite nice.
Yeah. Is it no chapter breaks in that one or something?
Yeah, no chapter breaks. I was confused for a while. So currently Cujo's been, spoiler alert, bitten by a rabid bat.
Yeah.
But it's good because you get parts that are like from the point of view of Cujo the dog. So it's like,
he did that in Gerald's Game, and they were the best written parts, I thought, when he gets to the mind of the dog. He's very good at that.
And it's not like ridiculous either.
No.
You know, it's not like, a nice smell and went to sniff it. It's nothing like that.
Sniffy
dog time.
Poo-poo. Human pick up the poo. Yeah, I know. It's actually like kind of reasonable. Like they're actually like, I don't know. It's not cartoonish at all. Yeah, what else? You finished The Troop?
Finished The Troop. Yeah, that was good. Pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Vomit inducing. Thought that was good. Been playing. I've got Resident Evil 7 DLC, which is called Not a Hero, which is out today, I believe. And you're like Chris Redfield from the obviously the first game, and it's sort of like a obviously still first person thing where he goes to the house after the events of the seventh game. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
It's more action orientated than the horror, but still like the horror elements are still there. It's still pretty creepy. Nice atmosphere. Recommended.
Nice. So the Christmas episode is next week, and I went to watch Black Christmas last night. Christmas, I've never seen it before. I won't go into too much detail. It was pretty good. I will say, since I've been in Manchester, like, I've kind of been looking for somewhere, some sort of group of people who would put on these kind of nights where they put on like slightly more obscure horror films and like old horror goodies and stuff. And this was put on by a group called Grim Up North, and they do the Grim Fest every year, it's like Manchester's horror festival. And I think it was quite cool to go there and see about 100 people just watching this like 70s horror film.
That's cool.
And they do a lot of these sort of little nights and stuff, so it's quite nice to find a little community
of
people doing it. Yeah.
I'm happy for you, Luke.
Thank you.
Yeah. Grim Up North.
Yeah.
So there was a remake of Black Christmas as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, I've not seen it. It's Black Xmas, right?
Oh, is it? It's interesting.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. I'll
probably watch it this week if we want to chat about it. So for the Christmas episode, I'm assuming we're just going to chat about a few Christmas films, not in massive detail, but just chat about the Christmas horror subgenre.
Yeah, I think maybe what's the one? I think I watched Krampus as well, and I think Andy's seen Krampus, so maybe we'll go into detail on that one, I guess, and then maybe just have a section of just chatting the shit about random horror.
And Andy Conduit Turner joining us next week to chat all things festive and fiendish and fucking hell. Give another F.
Okay.
We're gonna watch Jack Frost as well. You're gonna.
I've never seen that before. So yeah.
Not the Michael Keaton classic, family classic.
Also, just quickly before we jump into the film, I've been watching the Wolf Creek TV show. Wolf Creek was the film when that first came out. I remember being slightly, not offended, but like, but you know what? It was so grim that movie, and like all like the kind of people you thought were gonna live. Died.
Australian sort of serial killer dude. I think like a really gross guy.
But I found out like I enjoyed it in the sense of it was a really effective horror film. Like, it was kind of horrified. It was kind of like the same way I think people feel like when they watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that kind of gross sort of but the Wolf Creek TV show is kind of like an American family are traveling around Australia. This is how it starts. I'm not spoiling anything. And then they meet him and he kills all of them, but accidentally leaves the teenage girl alive. It's about her hunting him down. There's only 6 episodes, quite short.
So does this take place after the events of the film?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the same actor?
Yeah, yeah. Interestingly, so there's Wolf Creek 2, there's this TV show, there's also a prequel novel based on Mick, this Australian outback guy, all written by Greg McLean, the director who wrote the very first film and stuff.
He loves this guy. He thinks this guy's got a story to tell. He's obsessed with Mick Hucknall.
Mick Hucknall. but it's kind of good. I recommend it. Just it's a Shudder exclusive, so you need to be, you know, on Shudder to get it. Yeah. But the director who did the Belco experiment as well. And The Darkness, which you know, let's forget about that. I don't know if you watched that.
The Darkness.
Kevin Bacon. There's like inky footprints on the.
Oh, I've never seen it, but I think now you said inky footprints, I think I kind of remember. Awful, is it?
It's not really worth it, to be honest. But we're on number 17 of the list of Empire's top 50 horror movies ever. And they've dropped a clanger, I'll be honest.
Dropped a clanger.
Well, okay, so they've made Ring 2, number 17, and
Ring 2.
This is so confusing because there was another sequel called Rasen. So there's Ring, or Ring yeah. came out in 1998.
I don't know why that's funny.
No, it came 98, I think. The Ring 1 came out. And then it did two sequels in the same year. One was based on the sequel to the Ringu book, Rasen or something. And then this one was based, Ring 2 was based on, they just did their own thing. And it's more of like a direct sequel. And it's, I don't know, on Letterboxd, only about 2,000 people have seen it. It just seems really more, like way more obscure.
It's a strange one to add, especially so close to the top 10 fit horror films.
See, if this like, was Ringu 1, I'd be like, I can kind of understand because it's kind of iconic. But second one, I've never seen it before.
I don't know what about this film puts it so high up, puts it above the likes of American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, exactly.
It does feel like sort of just a random. It's like they've gone, oh, we didn't put any Asian cinema in. Have we at any point? Have we watched it? There's been no other Asian cinema on this.
Takashi Miike's audition, which I think is better.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. The version I watched as well had a trailer for that, like attached to it.
What, for the Ring? For Ringu?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, with Ringu, obviously, yeah, iconic. Probably the first film like this to exist. It kind of obviously did get kind of overdone for a few years, especially like, obviously, yes. In Asian cinema, but also when the American remakes started happening, like Ring and The Grudge.
He's in like 2-3 years afterwards as well. But like, I've never seen any of these Asian ones. I've only seen the American ones. So when I think of Ring, I think of Naomi Watts and...
Yeah, I genuinely think the first film with Naomi Watts, The Ring, is really, really good. I rewatched both of those this year, I believe. And even though the second one is kind of a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think the first one, in terms of like music and atmosphere, and I think it's really, really scary.
Yeah.
I think it's great, but unfortunately, it's going to sound like an absolute head case. Yeah. But I just don't think either of these films live up to it. But maybe that's just because
the originals. You mean
the originals? Yeah. I mean, I kind of didn't really get the atmosphere of this. I think the ghost of Sadako, obviously Samara in the American remakes. Just underused, I think, and not even that scary. And the soundtrack for me, for both films, kind of.
It was non-existent at times.
Non-existent, but also sometimes it was like uplifting, almost like.
Yeah.
Almost like a feel-good
film. In the second
film.
One, especially, the second one seemed tonally kind of weird. Like the music would. Well, the second one, the one that they put on this list, is number 17. Is just a weird film in general. There's like so many things that don't really add up. For me, I don't really know what happened in the second one. We'll go through it a bit more.
Yeah, but I mean the second one seems to like rely on the spooky ghostly child theme, which I don't think ever really works that well, does it?
No,
we've seen it so many times now.
I'll tell you what, the special effects of the people's face when you get like a good shot of someone like when they're scared to death, they kind of like curl up like.
Yeah,
or creepy. Like there is some really cool moments. And there's one moment in Ringu 2, that I was watching it and I was like, oh shit! Like it genuinely kind of like creeped me out because I don't know how they sort of did it, and it kind of came out of like left field. It's like a weird little special effect. But yeah, it has its moments. But I mean, this doesn't, especially number two, doesn't deserve.
Do you think that's just because we've obviously seen the American remakes first?
Well, maybe.
So it almost feels like just a. It almost feels fairly similar to those, but obviously, I don't want to say dumbed down a bit because that sounds.
Well, there's nowhere near as much budget, is there? And I think there's things in Ringu 1 which you can't do and not look dated. Like they do the freeze frame flashing white, like the, I don't know what you call it, like a white flash thing.
Yeah.
And then dissolve into like into black. Like you can't get away with that anymore. And without it looking 90s, without it looking sort of pastiche.
Were there some like sort of plasticine effects in areas as well?
Plasticine effects, which bits are there?
Yeah, some bits look like quite stop motion and plasticine-y.
Yeah.
Especially some stuff like with Sadako in the well, like in the second.
I'll tell you what bit really does work for me. The video itself, like the videotape. It's like a weird avant-garde, creepy. If you had a laugh track to that, it would be really weird.
Yeah, But I think the whole concept of there being this videotape that if you watch it and in 7 days you're going to die is cool. Do you know what I mean? It's bizarre. It's strange. And everything that kind of in the American remakes, I really loved all the backstory for Samara. Samara, is that right?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
I loved all the backstory, all the stuff that they did when they did the dig in. Sort of Naomi Watts becomes like a bit of a detective trying to find out these certain things. The inclusion of her son, who like in those films for some reason just calls her by her name and not mum, if I remember right.
I used to call my dad Gary.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't know.
Gary.
Yeah.
Gaza. Did you? How did he feel about that?
I don't think he was too happy about it.
Oh.
But I do. I call him dad now.
Yeah. Or you got to now, otherwise you never know. Do you ever like to let Gary slip out?
No. He's always dad now.
Daddy.
Pop. So in terms of, so we watched both of the films and we're going to talk about both of them today as a double bill. We'll say plots we might sort of be a little bit, we might skimp on a little bit, especially the second one. I'm still not too sure what happens in it. I got a bit confused there. And it's because I just wasn't as interested. Like, it didn't sort of hook me as much as the other films in this list has done. But just quickly, Ringu 1, because it didn't have an Empire little statement about it. It's got 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's got a really high score there. The consensus score is Ringu combines supernatural elements with anxieties about modern technology in a truly frightening and unnerving way. And then Ringu 2 has got 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm not too sure if that's because it's not got enough ratings or the very few it has are negative ones. I don't know.
Is that real? So a 0% Rotten Tomatoes film is on this list?
Yeah, but I think Rotten Tomatoes is like super harsh in the sense of if you go on it, there's only like 5 reviews and they're all negative. So then it's not going to go to like an average 30.
If it's one of the best 50 horror films, and like you'd think more people would be watching it and reviewing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a bizarre inclusion, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's weird. I don't think it's a 0% film. It's better than that.
Oh, God, no. 0%. I mean, how bad's it got to be for it to be 0%?
Yeah. But I mean, this is what Empire said about the second film in their little blurb. Not the first adaptation of Koji Suzuki's novel, but the one that brought the terrifying Sadako Yamamura to international attention. So maybe the second film is the one that... I don't think that's right, though, because it would have more reviews, surely. Suzuki's more sci-fi tinged material is jettisoned in favour of more horrifying ambiguity, and Nakata's film is an intriguing collision of Japanese folk horror. The well-dwelling, black-haired, chalk-skinned Sadako is clearly a descended from the onryo ghouls of Japanese tradition and more modern concerns about viral media and moral panic. It's a slow burn, but worth the unsettling journey to its most famous set piece. I think they're confused, because I'm sure the most famous set piece is her crawling out of the TV.
Yeah.
That's not in the second one.
Yeah, you're right. Empire have dropped the ball. And we can pick them up on this. I mean, they might not get back to us, but you know, we're dedicating enough time to their magazine/website that they should probably get back to us.
Yeah,
50 episodes of free, free advertising.
Yeah, it was like calling them film students and stuff. But you know, this is student error.
This proves it. This proves it. Student error. Yeah. Exactly.
So this one, so number 2 has got 6 out of 10 on IMDb. And 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. I asked Kat what she thought about, my fiance, what she thought about it. And she said, I don't like it because it's scary. And I think she's seen the American one. But that's fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, the American one is scary.
Yeah.
And it probably gets a lot of shit. It's probably not as well regarded as Ringu. But I really think it's good. It reminds me a lot of it. It reminds me of Silent Hill a little bit as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's got that sort of weird, creepy, everything's sort of washed in pale blue vibe.
I think number 2 is missing a lot of that Silent Hill vibe that makes the Ring thing kind of work for me. Andy, who's coming next week, said, infinitely superior to the US remakes with 100% extra inexplicable horse suicide. Was there a horse who committed suicide?
There's horse suicide in... There's horse suicide in the American one, am I right? Maybe it means that, I don't know. Who knows?
But sadly, I feel these originals became a victim of their own success to the point that all of the remakes, parodies, and very similar films inspired by them sort of puts me off going back to these originals. Maybe that's it. Maybe they were pretty groundbreaking and amazing, but because we've seen so much remake and parody of it, it's like they just don't have the same effect anymore. They've been inoculated.
So Andy is saying that these are infinitely better than the American ones.
Yeah, but I'm guessing it's been a while since he's. I don't know.
Maybe it's been a while, Andy. Maybe you need to go back and watch them and realize that maybe not infinitely better, probably than the second American remake, but I think the first one is.
Yeah, the first one holds up. Actually. I mean,
the first one holds up really well, and it is up there definitely.
Yeah.
Say no more.
Yeah, man. So should we sort of have a little browse through the story?
Yeah, we'll have a little browse. We're not going to go into unbelievable detail.
Well, so key players. We've got Nanako Matsushima as Reiko Asakawa. She's the journalist looking into this urban legend and these people who are dying and the cursed videotape. We've got Hiroyuki Sanada as Ryuji Takayama, Reiko's ex-husband. He comes into a bit later. This is something, I don't know if it was in the American one, maybe it was, I can't remember. He's got a sixth sense, he can detect auras, and he's kind of psychic himself. Then Riki Otaka as Yoichi Asakawa is their son, who has a bit of the sixth sense sort of thing as well. And then the second one, it has the same characters, but there's Ryuji's bit on the side, bit of crumpet on the side, becomes like the main character, I think.
a bit of crumpet on the side. Can I have a bit of crumpet, please, on the side?
But so tell us about how the first one starts, Ben.
So the first one starts with just two teenagers talking about the videotape, aren't they? They've sort of heard about the videotape, heard this urban legend that if you watch it, kills the viewer 7 days after watching it. And this girl sort of says, I watched it a week ago. And then obviously the same sort of stuff that happens in the American one where they're sort of laughing and joking, winding each other up. And then she shows it to the other girl. Does she show it to the other girl?
No,
I think there's just a call downstairs. There's a call on the phone downstairs, isn't there?
Yeah. And then we find out she was just joking, having a josh about it. But then the other one did watch it or something. And the TV turns on its own. And she kind of does that, and it sort of flashes white. It reminds me of the X-Files. I'm sure that like the older seasons of that used to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what you mean. Sort of this weird effect where it kind of goes negative the screen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like,
And then we cut to the future, and then we've got our main character, Reiko Asakawa. She's a reporter. She's interviewing some teenagers, talking about this little urban legend sort of thing. And everyone, all the teenagers know about it, saying, you watch it. And then 7 days later, they get a phone call and it says 1 week or something. It's not quite
we don't hear her voice in this, do we?
No, I missed
like,
that
like
kind it, of.
Like in the American one. Sorry, I'm going to keep saying the American one, I'm sorry, but I'm quite well familiar with that one before this. You obviously hear the voice saying, 7 days.
Yeah. Well, it'd be weird because they'd be like, don't speak English. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they'd say. 7 days. Who is this? What do you want? PPI?
What is it? Wakari masen? I think that's how you say it. I don't understand. Okay. And then, so some people have died, I think, recently.
It's like three other friends who all mysteriously died at the same time on the same night. See, if you're looking at this, so one of them's died from watching the videotape, and then three of her friends have died at the same time. Mm. All their faces are twisted. You'd be like, "Yeah, videotape, mysterious it's haunted videotape."
Because they all die like of a heart attack instantaneously. And their faces, they look like you know when you burn an ant. not quite burnt, but like they're kind of all curled up, kind of like they've got rigor mortis or something, and
shrivelly, Very shrivelly.
That's a very Asian sort of looking dead person, isn't it? To have that sort of big grin, death grin sort of thing, where his face, the cheeks is like pulled back sort of thing.
An Asian looking dead person. I recognise that dead person anywhere. Asian.
Like, but I mean, like in like Western horror films with dead people, they don't tend to have that. That kind of dead.
Oh, you mean like it's a trope in like Asian cinema?
Yeah,
someone's dead, they blow.
Yeah, when I think of like Junji Ito and in some of the manga, when people are dead, they have that weird, like, horrible grin.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
I know what you mean? Yeah, but it's just I like it though.
I think it's cool.
It's a lot more effective, I think. It's kind of like, oh Jesus, because you kind of think of like death in a horror film. When you see a dead body, it's almost like this otherworldly, disgusting, horrible thing that you can't bear to look at.
Yeah.
But when you see it so many times in films in like Western cinema, you're like, well.
They're just sleeping. These are like, wow, they're dead.
But this is horrific. But it like has that effect, doesn't it? Where you're just like, oh Jesus, can't even look. Whoa.
Yeah.
Horrible. Because they obviously some of the police do make a comment that they've never seen anyone look like that after they died.
Yeah, yeah. So they give that sort of kind of supernatural element.
Yes.
And Reiko, she goes to one of the teenagers who died's house, I think, and she gets these photos. They're all taking photos of each other.
Yeah.
And they've all
kinky
in the Polaroids. And I feel like this is an Asian horror movie trope, maybe because of this film, is where in the photos they're all kind of, their faces are all distorted. They're all kind of dim.
This was kind of like different like white specks and spots and like all these different if you remember in the American one, their faces were just a little bit like wobbly or distorted, like they couldn't focus on the face. I think that's quite creepy though. That's quite creepy because it's like, why?
but
why? Yeah, so she kind of like works out that they were staying in a rental cabin.
Yeah,
again playing out pretty much the same as the American one. That's it's taken
you,
a lot.
I think you obviously know the American one a lot more than me because I
yeah, as I said, I watched both of them not so long ago, probably within 6 months ago.
By the way, just as a side note, what do you think of The Grudge? Do you watch that? Were you a fan of that?
No, I don't think I really was a fan of it. I thought it was a little bit lame. Is it Sarah Michelle Gellar in that?
Well, the American one, yeah. I mean,
there's two. The American one, I'm pretty sure I've seen the Japanese one as well.
Yeah, well, the American one takes place in Japan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because it did Sadako versus The Grudge. I can't remember her name. It's Juwan, maybe.
They did Alien versus Predator type thing.
Yeah, it's on Shudder. Sadako versus something. And it's like a Godzilla versus King Kong sort of.
Well, they just go to the size of like 20 story buildings and fight.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it, Ben. But
I bloody hope so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happens. Yeah. They're sort of like a cinematic universe sort of thing, like everyone else. Okay, so at some point, Reiko gets the videotape, sticks it in. Does she watch it here?
I think sticks it in the video, the VCR. she watches it. And then as soon as it's over, she sees like a reflection in the TV, turns around like, oh, Jesus, receives a phone call. And then she hears, well, that's what you, so you don't hear someone say 7 days. She hears like just a screechy noise from like the tape.
And then she
runs away, and then she goes to her ex-husband, which is obviously the first thing you do when you're in trouble. We all know this. Get the ex-husband.
Well, this is what I don't understand. So obviously she believes something's bad with the tape, and then she instantly goes, "I'll get my ex-husband to watch it." Like,
yeah.
And why does he suddenly? Why does she go to? Is that because he's got like a sixth sense sort of thing that she thinks he might be able to help?
She still loves him. Yeah. This actor, Hiroyuki Sanada, he's in quite a lot of American films. He's in The Wolverine. He's in the film Life from this year, which is basically like a alien type film. And he's also listed to be in an untitled Avengers film directed by the Russo brothers, so possibly Avengers 4, that would be.
Infinity War 2 or something.
I don't think it's going to be called that anymore. I think it's going to be called something else. I think they're going to call it like Avengers, Strike Back. I don't know. Avengers.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Reassemble. Yeah.
Avengers might assemble again.
Yeah. Assembly. Yeah,
so I like this guy though. I think he's got like a he's got a great quality as a sort of movie star. He seems quite he seems like a nice man. That's what I think. And I thought, yeah, go to your ex-husband. I feel like you can trust him. He's got a nice face.
He watches the tape. And then he didn't. I think he's like a teacher. He seems very practical, I guess. He didn't seem, like, he's not scared. He's not freaking out.
No.
And then they find, this is the weird, I don't really understand what's going on here. So there's like a message on the tape. Frolicking Brian, goblins be thine.
Which he goes, yeah, makes sense. We have obviously one plot point we have to realize is that Raiko makes a copy.
Right, okay.
For Ryuji to study. That's when they find the hidden message.
Okay, yeah.
And then that night, while Raiko's chilling, she catches her young son watching the tape and claims it like a ghost of someone told him to watch it. Tomoko?
Yeah. Who's Tomoko?
I don't know, the ghost of Tomoko, just like his best mate. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Wow, that's
got weird. Got a bit confused here. So this is weird because obviously it wasn't until Ring 2 of the remake that her little boy watched it.
Yeah.
So obviously it's taking some different things from there. And then they kind of, I don't know how they work this out, but they work out that they need to like go to somewhere and they get on a boat.
What? So the husband says that saying, "Frolicking Brian, goblin be thine," is from this island or something.
That's the famous saying of the island. Yeah. Let's go.
And then they go back to this island. What's it called? Izu Oshima.
Oshima. And they do some research on this great psychic, Shizuko Yamamura.
Yeah.
Who killed himself at one point. And this is the point where like they've already they're here and they've got like a day left. So it's like, what have you been doing for seven days?
Yeah, there's a bit of a Jack Bauer sort of 24 thing happening because it keeps cutting to the day. So you know, like it, time's ticking on. So they've got a day. At some point, they sort of have a... I think their dad or something is there. The dad of Sudoku.
Yeah.
Sudoku.
Whoa, steady now.
Sadako.
Yeah, and that's when they basically work out that she created the videotape using her supernatural powers.
Yeah.
It felt a bit X-Men here. It didn't feel too scary. This is when it starts to be like, you know, obviously you've got a lot of psychokinetic characters in horror films like Carrie or something.
Yeah, exactly,
But sometimes it can even feel totally X-Men.
Stupid.
And that,
yeah,
like, and then it just feels like it takes away the horror because you're just like, oh, right, so it's just a...
It's difficult to do X-Men without it seeming very superhero 90s TV sort of thing. But so this is the way I understood the backstory here. So the father touches the dad's hand or whoever owns it in, and then he sort of has a flashback and he sees there was a moment where the psychic mother, who's doing a good job, she guessed some numbers or something, right? And then one of the reporters called her a monster. And then he suddenly had his heart attack and died. And then Sadako is that psychic's daughter, who's like an incredibly powerful psychic. And here's where I don't think it gets into complete detail, but I think the mother jumps into the volcano, and that causes the volcano to erupt, and that's in the tape when you've got other people, they're unable to stand up because they've been blown away by the volcano.
Yeah,
I think this is right, and I think maybe the mother jumps in the well and Sadoka causes the volcano. I keep saying that really wrong, but I think, and then they chuck her in a well to stop her from destroying the island. I think that's kind of what I kind of got figured it out to be.
Yeah. So basically our heroes go find Sadako's corpse in the well.
Yeah.
And sort of free her. So this the curse is good. Like broken.
They're kind of
like
trying to get the water out.
Yeah.
And you kind of knew she was in there somewhere. And then she finds her head, like skull head thing. And it kind of, does it like kind of fall apart a bit? I remember it getting an Evil Dead sort of vibe there.
Yeah. And then what's her name? Masami keeps like, no, not Masami, Raiko.
Raiko,
keeps fairly fainting all the time at the worst possible moments. Drops a bucket on his head.
Oh yeah, she's tired. Yeah. Oh, can't be bothered now. Bored.
To be fair. On the phone. To be fair, he's fuming. What's his name?
Ryuji.
He's like, oh, you dropped a bloody bucket on my head, you twat! Trying to save your life here. God, no respect.
Sumimasen.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Was it, I can't remember, Yeoman, Nasa, or something. Okay, yeah, go on.
Yeah, so Ryuji, they sort of go home thinking they've sort of sorted it out.
Yeah.
They've done the business, they freed her spirit, so that means the curse is lifted. Yeah, does it? Ryuji goes home and his TV switches on by itself, showing an image of a well. He's like, probably just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Not going to be the ghost of Sadako because we sorted her out.
I've just seen a video about a well. Interesting.
Well, this is weird. What channel is this on then? Challenge TV? Oh,
Kismet.
Great.
This is bloody Kismet, this is. Synchronicity then, of the world. And then Sadako pops out.
She pops out and crawls out the well, crawls out the TV.
His 3D
I like
TV
this.
Is,
I like the way he was trying to these 3D TVs are great these days.
Yeah,
I like how he was trying to get away. He was kind of like pressed up against the window and the curtains, like really desperately trying to sort of like.
This is genuinely creepy. I thought, like,
yeah,
I think the reason this film has taken its sort of legendary status is mainly because of this iconic scene with her crawling out of jittery.
Do you not think, though, the ghost of Sadako was possibly underused throughout the film?
Yeah.
It did feel like... I mean, it made this moment much better because it was like you were made to wait for it.
Yeah.
But I think she was pretty underused. Like, she didn't really appear in, like, sort of visions or anything, really.
Mm.
There wasn't much for anyone to be that scared of.
There's a couple of glances, wasn't there? But, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of glances, but nothing massive. I mean, if you think about, American remakes, it was pretty constant. It was pretty much like during those 7 days that Naomi Watts was being stalked by the ghost of Samara, it was constant, really, wasn't it? It was just constant trauma.
Did the American remake, as you're the renowned expert on the subject, did the American remake have the psychic? I have the papers. The psychic element to it.
Yeah. So we kind of
did it. Okay.
We see Samara in like a sort of institution where she's.
Oh no! Sorry, I mean the husband and the son. Do they have like psychic abilities?
So there wasn't a. So the husband and the son. So the son was just, if I remember right, the son was just a little bit strange and could sort of sense something. In terms of a husband, I don't think there's an ex-husband. I think it may be just a former partner, possibly, or maybe just a new love interest. I'll have to remind myself.
So he didn't have any psychic...
No psychic abilities for him, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
It's weird that they kind of cleared all that clutter out and were like, you know, to Americanize it more and make it a bit more of a straight horror film.
Yeah, but I think that kind of worked because it felt like almost too much, didn't it?
With
Sadako having some sort of ability, and then obviously your mum having some sort of ability.
It's like episode 7 of Stranger Things. Nobody needs that.
yeah, that needs to be declutterified.
Yeah.
So then obviously, there's one final
shot here of her eye that is so horrific. They used it on the box art, and I think they probably shouldn't have done, because that last shot of that eye, why is the eye so big? Like, it's like a giant sort of, maybe they had a big model eye to use for, I don't know. But,
Yeah, she was pretty much like a standard ghost girl. She wasn't horribly decomposing, or she was ice white, but she wasn't like falling apart. Like, obviously the ghost of Samara was like sort of fingernails gone.
Well, the fingernails were gone on this one as well.
Waterlogged, wrinkly skin, and they made a lot about the well, so like there was a lot of water coming out of TVs and stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't really get that at all in this, did you?
Yeah. Well, this is like the prototype, and it's a bit more trivia related later on, but I'll go into that a bit more. But yeah, so the curse isn't lifted, but for some reason it didn't affect Reiko. But I think she figures out that if you let someone else watch it, then the curse is kind of passed on to them.
Yeah, well, it's if you make a copy, I believe. So if you make a copy, you're kind of like spreading the message. So obviously, if you retweet it, well, that's the thing.
You'll get entered into this giveaway. You won't die.
You won't die. Obviously, they made in Rings, which is a sort of a new one, which came out this year. This year, maybe late last year. I think it was this year. There was a lot made about it. It was like a file that you had to copy, and someone sent it in an email to loads of people. It's just.
Is it good?
Oh, it was awful. Utterly awful.
Oh, that's a shame.
Almost unwatchable. It was basically the same scenario over and over and over and over, probably about 12 times. And I was just like, this is shit.
Yeah.
But it was Rings. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Rings. Yeah. Oh, Rings. Rings.
So the way I understood it, I thought that you had to sort of pass it on, make a copy and pass it on. And the reason they go back to see her father at the end, like it's because Yoichi's seen it. Yoichi has seen it. And so she's going to pass. She's decided that she's going to get her son to pass it on to her dad.
Yeah.
That's the way I understood it anyway. Maybe I'm.
Yeah. So it's basically like a never ending cycle. Tape has got to be copied and passed on to ensure the survival of the viewers until everyone in the world has seen it.
Yeah. Like a chain letter. Do you remember those, like, Cadbury's used to do chain letters when you were a kid?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, like, a chain email then when someone says, forward this on or you will die.
It's more like that. did you ever see, just before we go on to Ringu 2, did you ever see that webcomic? I think it went a bit viral, and it was like, it's like a never-ending scroll sort of comic. You sort of scrolling through, and it's like a guy walking across the street, and it's talking about this Japanese ghoul demon thing walking across the street, and then it suddenly like becomes animated and really loud. So you sort of flicking through, and the thing like jumps. It's like the thing is taking over computers, coming out the screen.
I do remember this. Yes,
I remember. I was looking through that, and Kat was in bed when we were students.
Ah!
I screamed like a little girl. Like that's one of the most terrifying things I think I've ever seen in my life. I'll try and find a link for that so people can see. Yeah,
put that in the show notes.
Yeah,
I used to hate those videos where you're watching a nice serene thing and then suddenly a big face would be screaming. Yeah. That affected me so much. So I reckon for years after the first time I'd seen something like that, anytime I was watching any sort of video, I was like,
expected it. Yeah,
I kind of expected it to jump out at me and tell.
I'm like that now when I'm looking at any picture or video and just expecting to see the, finger thing. Yeah,
finger.
Yeah, there was one the other day that was like, it was like it's a never-ending like link thing. So you look at, there's like a girl looking in the mirror, and then it would say, look up, and then you rise up and you go, I've look to this, the floor. And you go for like ages, and then you see the little fingers, the little hand.
I mean, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So should we move on to Ringu 2?
Okay, yeah, so Ringu 2.
Takes place a little while after Ringu 1, but not too much. So the body of Sadako gets retrieved from the well, retrieved. The body of Sadako gets retrieved from the well, and her uncle is summoned by police to identify her.
What's her uncle's name? Takeshi.
Takeshi, racial stereotypes. The detective explains that forensics concluded she may have survived in the well for 30 years. This was mental.
Well, it's obviously, I don't So they say, like, she only died like 2 days ago, I think they said, but she's been in the world for 30 years. The reason the fingernails were gone is because she tried over and over again to get out. I think she is dead, but I think...
Somehow she was possessed by something, which sort of in some sort of state of being alive.
Or maybe because she's like an X-Man. Like, maybe she did sort of live like that.
She's an ex-bloke.
She's had...
So they buried a body at sea, like in a coffin, then they sling that in the water.
Does that mean someone who's after they have... So they're pre-op for a while. I'm a pre-op man. Pre-op woman. After they've had that, are they an X-Man? Like...
Potentially. We'll have to look on Urban Dictionary to try and work out.
Because that'd be amazing. Yeah, okay, cool.
That would be amazing. Probably not the main reason people want to undergo that sort of surgery.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if I was actually called a...
Yeah.
But, you know, possibly. Kind of sensitive.
It is, yeah.
It is.
Okay, so what happened? So they've got the body. The uncle, Takeshi, is... he sort of throws a coffin. Did he have, like... he says he's going to put the body in the sea. I don't think he does it straight away.
It's in a coffin. Yeah. He slings it in the sea, jumps on it like a surfboard, and goes off. it's a great sequence.
Yeah. So at some point... they're looking into... See, this is where I got really confused. For the first half of this, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, it was a little bit confusing. I think it kind of expected, even though we just watched Ringu, so we should be really well versed on what was going on in this universe.
Yeah.
I was a bit confused. Yeah. So there's police obviously searching for Raiko, because obviously her ex-husband died terribly, painfully. And then they're sort of looking for some stuff at a news office, and they find this burnt out videotape in Raiko's apartment. It's all melted and crusty in the bathtub, and then, you know, what happens next? And then they start investigating the legend. So obviously the main character here is, what's her name?
Is it Okazaki?
Okazaki,
is that right?
As Okazaki is the guy, and Mai is the girl looking for answers.
Okay.
So Okazaki,
Mai was Ryuji's bit of crumpet on the side. That was the girl he was seeing. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So he'd moved on fairly quickly, but then his ex-wife comes back into the picture with a cursed videotape, makes him watch it.
Always happens.
This is perfect for Jeremy Kyle.
But
your ex-wife made you watch that cursed ex videotape, and now you're dead.
Yeah. So I'm still trying to work this out in my head, trying to get it all.
Yeah, so there's a bit later on where Mai and Okazaki go to a mental hospital to speak to somebody who was a friend of Raiko's niece, Tomoko. Yeah.
And she was the girl at the start of the first one who didn't die.
Yes. Okay. I think that's right.
But she saw Sadako coming out of the TV and kind of ruined her a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So there's a doctor as well who's like a paranormal researcher trying to expel the psychic energy through this girl for the various different experimentation.
Very glad. That kind of I think I need to watch this again, because that kind of stuff went right over my head. So you're trying to expel the negative energy into water or something.
Yeah, yeah, there was that, because obviously there's swimming pool stuff later on.
Yeah,
yeah. The water just like suck it all up. The water goes, I'll have all that. Yum, 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 yum.
Delicious.
This bit was quite cool when Mai stepped out for some air, and then Sadako kind of materialized on the TV, which all of the other mental hospital patients are watching, and they all start proper screaming.
Well, they were really like, they were watching that. Yeah. Watching the Jeremy Kyle show. Family Fortunes was on.
Family Fortune.
And then they kind of lose it at once.
I thought it was quite effective, though. The only thing that was a bit lame was like everyone who wasn't being affected by it kind of trying to comfort the other people. I know you're in terrible, unbelievable, insurmountable pain. I was just going to give you a stroke on the head. It's all right. It'll be all right on the night.
So we did miss out a point where... So Okazaki is Reiko's colleague, like a journalist as well. He gets one of the kids who's obviously seen it to make him a copy of the tape. And he puts it in his drawer. This bit doesn't make any sense. So this girl who's obviously seen it, because she's like terrified, like she wasn't before, like now she's terrified. She doesn't she's obviously seen it. She knows it's bad, and then she makes him promise to watch it, almost like if I'm going down, you're going down too.
It just seems like it's a pretty lame plot device for these films, which is like if you really believe that this was the case, you'd like make sure nobody else watched it. But it's almost like they're trying to validate. Trying to validate their own fears here, where they're just going, "Oh, I know I'm screwed, but you watch it as well, because otherwise, you know."
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah. Okay, so they're in the mental asylum.
They're chilling in the mental asylum.
They have a glass of water or something. This is where I'm completely baffled now.
Well, we've kind of covered the mental hospital
right,
stuff.
Okay.
I think not long after that, there's some more people involved. They like go to a shopping mall and talk to someone who's like psychic abilities have like intensified.
Well, they find Yoichi, the son from the previous one.
Yeah.
Mei starts chilling out with him.
Yeah.
And then finds Reiko is alive and well. And
there's a lot of loads of people got like telepathic abilities, stuff to do with obviously the guys in the mental hospital trying to do an experiment. It's just a bit too.
Yeah.
It's kind of lost its essence, I felt, at this point. It kind of lost the essence, which is quite basic, which is there's a haunted videotape.
Yeah. And this has gone far too. The psychic abilities.
Yeah. It reminds me, I know you said the X-Files already, but it reminds me, there's definitely been X-Files. Loads of X-Files episodes where people have got like telepathic abilities.
Yeah.
And there's loads of episodes of the X-Files where people end up in like mental hospitals. And it just reminded me of that, but like for too long.
Yeah.
Like it was concentrating too much on these things. And I just thought, how are these things really going to help you if you're being stalked by a telekinetic ghost who wants you dead in 7 days? You'd just be like, I've got other things to do. I've got 7 days to live.
Yeah. Priorities. So at some point, Mei and Yoichi travel to Oshima, but before that happens, this is another bonkers thing. So the mum gets hit, Reiko gets hit by a truck, and her blood like swims towards her son, Yoichi, and starts talking to him telepathically.
Yeah.
It's like it's warning him about something. Like it's insane. So, but anyway, Mei and Yoichi, they go back to the island where it all happened on the first one. At the same time, I'm kind of brushing over this quite broad strokes. That's because that's the only way I'm going to be able to do this. at the same time, the uncle gets like a clay face for some reason made of Sadako. Like they tried to reconfigure the face to prove that it is her, and he says yes, and he puts them both in the sea. And then he's also the owner of the inn that they sort of stay in later on. This is the bit when I talked about earlier, the bit that like really creeped me out in this film. So I was watching it and it had been kind of boring for like the majority of it at this point. I was kind of like, I'm out pretty much. I'm just kind of, this is happening and I'm my eyes are pointed in that direction, but I'm not actually watching it anymore. but they go to the inn and Mei sees the mirror, which is from the tape. And then you're watching through her point of view, the psychic mother. And at first I thought it was like a weird dolly zoom camera trick, but then the mother like kind of floats towards the, in such a surreal, like gliding fluid motion, glides towards her. And then if like her face is kind of pokes around the corner, and it's like, oh my God, I don't know how they managed to do that, but it felt like she was coming out of the TV, like literally out of my computer screen. And then I was like it literally got my heart going. Like it really, really worked on me. And then it just goes absolutely insane again. So what happens here? So they go to a swimming pool. The doctor,
they go to the local swimming baths.
Well, the doctor turns up, the paranormal investigator doctor, just because he has one little bag. And the next scene, he's got them all hooked up to this kind of crazy, I don't know where this equipment came from. He must have left them outside. You bring your bags in, please, because there's a shit ton.
He just rented it from somewhere.
Yeah. But it's like a big tank of bubbling water. There's like VHS tapes and stuff. There's headsets, like psychic headset things. I really don't know what happened in this bit. It gets kind of surreal to the point of like...
Because what happens is Mai and Yoichi end up jumping, getting in the swimming pool, and then they're in the well.
Yeah. So the uncle climbs into the water and drowns because he sees Sadako's coffin in there. There's another woman. Oh, no, the doctor just jumps into the pool with a toaster. Or, like, not yep, a toaster, yep, but something yep. in the like, kind of
electrical. He's carrying some sort of electrical equipment. He's carrying his air straighteners and just jumps in.
And then I think what's the face is they both fall over and the camera kind of twists. So suddenly they're hanging off and they're inside the well and they're hanging and then they drop off. It gets so surreal around this point.
It's very. It's just spat everywhere. It's pretty surreal at this point. Yeah. That was a bit like.
There's a bit like a nightmare logic to it all at this point.
You know when you kind of get like a narrative sort of takes you on a ride and you kind of feel like you're along for the ride, but then you kind of start thinking, am I? I'm holding on the coattails and am I along for the ride? I'm kind of there. I'm with you. I kind of understand this. You know, there's a lot of metaphor and but then sometimes, like for example, this film, you just get a bit lost and you're just like, what's happening now?
So in the Empire bit, it talks about the iconic ending, and I don't think they're on about this.
Maybe the iconic ending here is Sadako like chasing them outside the well, like crawling out.
Maybe because that looked kind of cool, and she had the clay face rather than her real face.
But I got confused by that for several minutes before I realized. I kind of forgot about the clay face stuff.
Yeah,
and when I saw with the clay face, I was like, "What the holy shit!" Awful special effects is this. Which is what I said before when I said it looked like plasticine. It looked like it looked like stop motion animation. And I was like, what point is this trying to prove? Like, why would they do it like this and not just have an actress like with makeup? Why would they? And then I kind of remember the clay face thing. But I just don't think the clay face thing made that much sense to me. Maybe that's why it didn't.
It didn't. And there's also like dripping snot stuff coming out of the hand on the rope that's kind of disappeared. It looked kind of cheap. But before the very end, Sadako doesn't say anything to them, but she doesn't get there, doesn't kill them or anything. But she says, why is it only you were saved? It's like a question. Yeah. And then she sort of jumps. And I think that's kind of like, they just get out then, don't they? And then they sort of, they get out and then they're in the pool again. They're not in the well anymore.
Yeah. Imagine, that's a weird feeling. Climbing out of a well into a pool. And then that'd be strange.
And then that bit earlier where what's his name? Okazaki got the copy of the tape. There's like a little sting at the end where he's in the mental asylum now, and the girl from the start of the first one is like haunting him or something.
Yeah. And that wasn't that great because it was like you kind of expected it to be a little bit more terrifying, but it was just like a girl laughing. You'd just be like, fuck off, love.
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of my bloody room.
Cell. The second one, I think they have messed up. I think they're getting confused as to which one's which.
I think so because the first one just feels, I mean obviously there's a higher budget for Ringu 2,
is there? Interesting.
Actually I don't know that. That's just me saying that it felt more like a film. if that makes sense. Ringu kind of felt like the budget was much lower, but maybe not. Maybe we'll have to do a little bit of research into.
Well, so like I said, I would be if number 17 on the list was Ringu 1, I'd say I can understand that because it's kind of it's a franchise. It brought Asian horror to Western audiences and that kind of thing. But Ringu 2 just seems like the wrong film to pick.
Exactly. There we go.
Yeah,
not bad, I guess. I kind of understand. The sort of legacy of these films, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I particularly enjoyed these at this point. But as I said, as somebody who's quite well versed in the American remakes, maybe that was just to these films' detriment. Where I genuinely do think the first film is genuinely creepy.
Yeah, it's good,
scary, and it's a great film. The second one, not so much.
Would you?
But still, that's the point.
If you had to choose a gunpoint between the American remake or the Asian one, which one would you go for?
Oh yeah, the American one, 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
I do enjoy the American one.
I thought you would have said so, being the expert. But
oh yes. Yeah.
Are you ready for some trivia?
Yeah. Okay. I am ready.
For Ringu 1, the entire production took around 10 months. The entire production.
10 months?
True or false?
True.
Yeah, true. So the script and pre-production process took 3 or 4 months. Shooting was 5 weeks and post-production 4 months. I kind of feel like Asian cinema, because I think I read the audition was like a really quick turnaround as well. Compared to like Western cinema, because Western cinema seems to take like 2-3 years, if not more. I don't know.
Yeah. That's weird, isn't it?
Very quick. Okay, number two. The Japanese phrase for shit your pants is, you say this is true or false, anata no zubon o tawagato.
True.
That is true. Apparently, Google Translate says so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So just so you know, next time.
I thought maybe you'd put too much effort into that for that not to be right.
No. Okay. Koji Suzuki got his inspiration for the Ringu novel from his favourite horror movie, The Exorcist. True or false?
True. I can see that.
False. It was actually Poltergeist, which you can kind of see with the whole TV aspect.
Yeah, you can kind of see. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, you can kind of see it with The Exorcist as well, I suppose.
Well, yeah, that's why I put it in there. Yeah, that's why I did a little.
Oh, you've had me. You've had me there, haven't you? You've had me.
The close-up, number four, the close-up of Sadako's eye near the end of the first film was performed by a man. Not an X-Men. A man.
Ah. Performed by a man. Yes, true.
It's true. I tried to throw you off earlier because I was saying how it might be like a model or something. But,
yeah.
No, it's a man. Number five. Ringu 1 is the highest grossing horror film in all of history.
What, in all of Japanese history?
No.
In all of history?
Asian history. True or false?
In all of Asian history?
Yeah.
So not in all of history?
Well, Asian history. Not in all of history.
True.
No, but Japanese history. So it's the...
Well, you don't know that, because what's the highest grossing Japanese film, Asian film then? Or are you just talking...
Oh, yeah, well, it might be that as well. I don't know, yeah.
Hollywood. Well, the answer to this thing is it might be. Oh.
Well, okay. So the trivia on the trivia website said it's the highest grossing film in highest grossing horror film in Japanese history.
Okay.
So it's probably Asia,
right?
I don't know, because China might have its own like crazy stuff.
A Bollywood film.
Yeah.
As well.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So. We need to grade the film. I think we did quite well, by the way, with the plot, with number two. I was a little bit worried going in that, like, I just had no idea. But do you want to do number one first, and then...
Yeah,
and then we'll
okay.
Do two.
Okay, so I would probably give number one, like... Oh, I don't know which one I like the best.
What, which one, out of
which one
Ringu
do you,
1
do you like the best? I would give Ringu 1...
Yeah.
Oh, this is gonna sound really low, but I just couldn't get. Wow. Ringu 1, a D plus.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, that's pretty low, isn't it?
Yeah.
But since we started discussing it, maybe I thought it was better. Yeah. But Ring 2, C minus.
Wait. Ringu 2. So you're giving Ringu 2 more than Ringu 1?
Am I? I'm so confused.
The way I'm understanding it is you're giving Ringu a D and Ringu 2 a C.
I'm just trying, because I did make some notes on which one I like the best. Which one did I like the best? Which one did you like the best?
Ringu 1 by a long shot.
By a long shot?
Yeah.
All right then. Okay.
I didn't really feel like Ringu 2 at all. Ringu 2, bag of poo to me.
Ringu 2, bag of poo.
Apart from that, like, couple of creepy memories, especially with the floating mother, I thought was...
Yeah. I see what you mean. So, yeah, I think what I did was I kind of went on something and I wrote down my review of both, and I think I got on the wrong way around, which was confusing.
Probably what Empire did as well.
So I did the same somehow. Empire. Yeah, so maybe... All right, okay. So Ringu 1, C minus. Ringu 2, D plus.
Okay, so they're kind of, you know, in the same sort of ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, well, I was going to give Ringu 1 a B minus.
Okay.
I think it's a good film. And yeah. Ringu 2 a D minus, because I don't know, I just didn't enjoy it at all, really. I mean, there's a couple, apart from a couple of moments, like the floating mother. I just didn't really get into it. But then again, you know, I was a bit tired as I watched it, so maybe I need to watch it in a better.
Well, maybe watch it again tomorrow when when you're feeling sort of more hyped up.
I might watch Sadako versus.
Yeah, Godzilla movie.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
Okay, so next week we're going to be doing something slightly different. We're not going to be doing another film on the list just yet. Andy CT Conduit Turner is going to come on for a Christmas episode. I think we're going to watch three of the same films, Krampus, Black Christmas, and Jack Frost. And then I think we're just going to have a bit of a chat about other Christmas horror films.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we're going to... So, we'll just chat about the Christmas horror subgenre. Not sure what we're going to call the episode yet, but we'll work it out.
So the thing you want is called Sadako versus Kayako. So Kayako must be
the spat again.
Yeah, 2016 it came out, really recently.
Oh, right.
Oh dear, IO9. The Japanese Ring versus Grudge horror film is really bad. That's what they say.
Man, yeah, that makes me kind of want to watch it though.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, so this show is brought to you by the Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. And remember to hit subscribe. Come over to Facebook. Join the Facebook group. It's called Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a horror dude.
Thank you, Luke, for always being such a lovely man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right. Talk to you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.